Welcome back. You're listening to Agriculture Today. As we're now into the wheat harvest in Kansas, this is a timely word that our guest passes along, and it relates to a topic we've been taking up the last several months, the lack of convergence in wheat prices, the cash locally to the futures prices. Art Barnaby is going to tell us that there's been a change at last after all of this dialogue concerning the wheat contract. He's a risk management specialist, K-State Research and Extension. And just to recap where we've been, this non-convergence matter has been on the minds of those in the wheat industry, farmers clearly included, for a while now. And it's been discussed somewhat ad nauseum, Art, right?
Yeah, and now the question is, will we get convergence on the July contract? We start delivery July 1, and it's not very far away on the July contract. These changes wouldn't be expected to affect this July 1st because they don't go in place until March of 2018. So let's be clear that it's 2018 we're talking about. You'll also remember I did numerous radios on this along with Dan O'Brien and Beth Yeager, and initially my bet was we're going to have the status quo, that there wouldn't be any changes made because there was a lot of opposition to any changes. But the CFTC was really pressing the CME to make changes, and they didn't go halfway. They really went all the way on this. So it is a substantial change. What did not change is the delivery locations. They're still the same. Salina, Wichita, Hutchinson, and then Kansas City at par value. The others have a differential. The only thing they did really was they changed this to a variable storage rate. And the way it works is if you're at 80% of full carry or more, then they up the storage rate at 0.01 cents per bushel per day. Doesn't sound like a lot, but yeah, it's going to add to it. And it'll keep adding that storage rate if the next contract comes in at 80% or greater full carry. If it's less than 50% full carry, the opposite. They cut the storage rate by the same amount. So it does run both directions. Now, when it's the other way, nobody really cares because they don't want to store it anyway. Mm-hmm. It's only to the upside that people are really concerned, or at least those who are making delivery and then holding delivery. Now, having said all this, no, farmers can't deliver wheat, and nothing has changed. You will still not be able to deliver wheat. The only people who can deliver
physical
wheat.
Physical delivery now.
Yeah, physical delivery. You will not be able to deliver against a futures contract. The only people that can actually deliver are those approved by CME. They call those regular elevators. There are no co-ops who can deliver on the hard red winter wheat contract. I should add that also. These are all large grain companies or mills, flour millers, et cetera, that can actually make delivery. So none of that's changed. However, what has changed is the person taking delivery, and by the way, anybody can take delivery, including farmers. If you do take delivery, you will get a margin call the next morning for the full value of the contract, and delivery is made wherever the deliverer wants to make it, subject to those four locations. So this is still not a place that I see grain producers participating. So that's where we're at. And then what happened was about, 3 weeks later, the board came back and announced they were going to flip from a warehouse receipt to a shipping certificate. The difference between the warehouse receipt and the shipping certificate is that the person or entity that took delivery of the wheat, what they receive is a warehouse receipt for a regular elevator, meaning one that's been approved by CME to make delivery, and they get a warehouse receipt at what they got it currently is at a fixed storage rate that doesn't change. Now, that is going to change, but right not until March of 2018. So you get this warehouse receipt. There actually is wheat in that elevator, and it meets certain contract specifications, and you have a warehouse receipt for that grain. And as a result, you can go to a bank and get loans on that warehouse receipt. With the shipping certificate, the wheat in this case, by the way, all the grains now have gone to a shipping certificate. hard red winter wheat being the last one. The one prior to this was rice. Rice went to us, shipping certificate. So the soft wheat and the corn and soybeans, those are all shipping certificates and have been for some time. In any case, the fundamental difference is the wheat doesn't actually have to be in Hutchison. They just have to be able to get it to Hutchison to load it out, or in this case, it's going to be loaded out on rail cars. Having said all that, if by the threat of increasing the storage cost, what you end up with is people taking delivery are not going to leave it set in the elevator. They're going to, some point, that storage rate, because it'll keep getting bumped as long as it dropped below that 80% of full carry. And at some point, they will, in fact, convert that paper into real wheat, and then you're going to get convergence between futures and cash. That's pretty much the way it's worked on the soft wheat contract. I have no reason to believe it's going to work any differently on the hard red winter wheat contract. Now, there are lots of folks out there that disagree with me rather strongly that I'm completely wrong. And, you know, Eric, I've been at it a long time, and there's lots of times when I'm wrong, and this could be one of them. But at this point, I don't have any reason to believe otherwise. That's what the CME's research says, too. But that's where we're at right now.
Do you see these changes then, Art, as addressing the basic question here of making the futures markets more friendly to producers as a risk management tool?
This will probably get me some bad mail, but yes, I do. It may not be obvious to farmers who don't use futures, but those who've had short hedges in the last few years have discovered that that futures price, when they sold $5 wheat, thinking that my normal basis is 50 under and I'm going to get 450 for my wheat, and they ended up with 350, yeah, they get it. So if this storage thing actually causes that futures to converge so that we start at $5 and the market drops a buck, your futures are going to come down a dollar. What really happened is we had the futures come down a dollar, but we had the cash market come down $2. That's what really happened. And the $2 is where you came up short. If you strictly sell everything by cash and by storage, yeah, maybe not. The other person that would benefit is farmers that have their own storage. Again, for two reasons. Number one, if you've got a high deferred price, you can put a storage hedge on that and capture that return just like you were an elevator. Effectively, you are an elevator. The second thing is that if we get another premium in the, for protein, and we looks like it may shape up that way because North Dakota's having problems with drought. So if there's not enough protein up there, then protein is probably going to carry a premium, but you may not be able to get it here locally unless you've got it in your own storage and can therefore deliver directly to a mill operator who wants a certain level of protein and get a premium for it. So it's a whole new level of management as far as storage goes. But for the farmers, that there are a few out there that use futures, and there's a few out there that have their own storage and have the skills to manage all this, they can take advantage of this. I think there is a real opportunity to do education on this, but you have to have farmers who are willing to come and spend the day with you to go through this kind of material, because it is not simple. The first time you see it, it takes a while to think through all this, but once you sort of see how it works, it all kind of makes sense. Now, can you do anything about it, for example? Well, no, there's only one railroad going down the Gulf, so, you know, you either put it on there or you take it by truck, and it's really expensive. Although we do see some farmers down in, say, Wellington area who take their wheat down to Tulsa to deliver. It's not that far away, and, of course, that goes on water at that point and actually bypasses the railroads. But so you got all that goes on in this market is far more complicated than the cash price posted at the elevator. Again, the first thing you have to do is don't come in with the idea this is a giant conspiracy and everybody is out to get me. And no, it's really a case of people are going to charge whatever they can get. If we had $8 wheat, anybody out there going to volunteer to take $6 for it because $8's kind of charging more than what it cost me to produce it? Not a chance. And it works that way with every other industry.
Once more, this will not be into effect until 2018. Keep that well in mind, but this will be a topic of conversation in the subsequent months prior to that.
Yeah, as we get closer to that March 2018, we'll start to see some pressure on the market, I think, at that point to go towards some convergence. So I don't think it's absolutely going to be 2018. That's when it starts. But I think they'll start to anticipate what's going to happen starting in March 2018. So around January, we'll start seeing some anticipation of these changes. So it could get really interesting. Full employment for Dan O'Brien, right?
That's right. Dan will be discussing this at length and once more be listening for more information about the moves made by the CME now to address, again, the longstanding issue of lack of convergence between cash and futures wheat prices, with the variable storage rate being instilled now along with other delivery mechanisms important to the trade. Art, we appreciate the summary right here. He's a risk management specialist with K-State Research and Extension. He's Art Barnaby. You're listening to Agriculture Today. We'll return in a few moments on the K-State Radio Network.